Supporting someone with depression is no easy task. Let us hear from clinical psychologists about how words and actions can help them out of isolation. Depression is like a silent intruder that slips quietly into life. At first, it is hard to detect, yet imperceptibly it seeps into a person's thinking, emotions, and behavior. Over time, it grows bolder, weighing heavily on the person until eventually they are surrounded by it. If you look closely, you can see this metaphorical cloud in a person's demeanor, choices, words, and emotional expression. The hallmark of depression as a mental health problem is a persistent low mood, together with a loss of interest in and pleasure from daily activities. But its manifestations go far beyond that, often appearing in many forms. It may be sleeping too much, or it may be insomnia, it may be listlessness all day, or it may become difficult even to get up, wash, dress, or eat. It may show up as not replying to messages and frequently canceling plans. It may also be tearfulness, irritability, or appearing cold and distant. These are all common signs of depression, but not all of them. Sometimes the person seems to function normally at work, school, or family care, and only the closest people can detect those subtle symptoms. If you are reading this article, it is probably because depression has touched your life in some way. Perhaps you are worrying about your partner, child, friend, sibling, or parent. Around 280 million people worldwide are affected by depression, making it one of the most prevalent mental health problems. Given this enormous number, as well as the people who care about those sufferers, at some point in our lives we are all likely to cross paths with depression either by experiencing it ourselves or by being a helper. Thank you for wanting to learn more and to help the people around you who are going through depression. Your support matters enormously. Depression makes sufferers believe they are alone, that they don't matter, that no one cares. When you reach out, especially at the hardest moments, you are telling them you are loved, you are important. Such support helps them fight the negative thoughts depression brings, creates space for empathy and emotional connection, and brings hope for recovery. This guide will help you understand the nature of depression more deeply, and more importantly, teach you how to lend a hand. Understanding depression, the basics. Let us look more deeply at the many forms depression takes and the warning signs to watch for, across the following dimensions. Emotional symptoms. A person with depression may not only feel extreme sadness, but also experience emotional numbness, apathy, detachment, anxiety, irritability, tension, guilt, shame, fear, or feeling overwhelmed. Depression often coexists with sadness, trauma, or other mental health problems, such as generalized anxiety disorder, obsessive-compulsive disorder, or eating disorders. Cognitive symptoms. Depression temporarily affects a person's ability to think, including attention, memory, information processing, decision-making, and problem-solving. Sufferers typically feel their thinking is slowed and muddled, and find it hard to concentrate or remember. Depression also affects the content of thinking. Negative, hopeless, anxious, or self-critical thoughts may arise frequently, directed at themselves, others, the future, or the world as a whole. In more severe cases, thoughts of self-harm and suicide may even appear. Physical symptoms. Common physical manifestations include fatigue and weakness, body aches or a sense of heaviness, loss of appetite or, conversely, eating to seek comfort, and sleep disturbance, too much or too little. If anxiety is also present, symptoms such as a racing heart, difficulty breathing, or chest tightness may appear. Behavioral manifestations. Typical behavioral features include social withdrawal and avoidance, such as distancing from, refusing, or avoiding social activities, hobbies, or family gatherings, restlessness or agitation, neglect of self-care, and escaping reality through increased smoking, drinking, drug use, gambling, overeating, or sexual behavior. In severe cases, self-harm or suicidal behavior may occur. In clinical diagnosis, mental health professionals usually rely on the criteria of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, DSM, or the International Classification of Diseases, ICD. According to the latest version of the DSM, a diagnosis of major depressive disorder requires core symptoms, depressed mood and/or loss of pleasure, together with other symptoms such as changes in appetite or sleep, fatigue, feelings of worthlessness, or suicidal thoughts. These symptoms must persist for more than 2 weeks and cause significant distress or impairment in daily life. Once depression sets in, it may last for weeks or longer. Some people may endure it for months, while for others it may be a chronic mental health problem affecting life for a year or more. Depression may also recur, cycling between depressive periods, lasting weeks or months, and recovery periods, lasting weeks, months, or years. Sometimes it may be a one-time episode that does not return after recovery. But however it presents, it brings enormous distress to sufferers and their loved ones. The causes of depression are highly complex, involving multiple factors. This includes the intricate interplay of genetics, physiology, health conditions, and hormone levels, as well as life experiences, such as upbringing, relationships, abuse, or trauma, thinking patterns, coping strategies, and personal resources. Experts continue to study the interactions among these factors. Depression may be a form of self-protection when people face hardship, trauma, or accumulated stress, a situation that often arises when a person's coping capacity or available resources cannot meet the challenges they face. We should understand depression from a perspective of empathy, focusing on what causes the depression rather than simply assuming the person is the problem. Depression often traps people in a cycle of self-criticism, such as "something is wrong with me," instead of thinking with empathy, such as "what happened to make me like this," or "what have I experienced that led to this state?" As helpers, we must also guard against falling into negative judgments of the sufferer, and instead understand with empathy what caused their depression. Why your support matters. Now that you have a basic understanding of depression, its manifestations and possible causes, as a helper, your most pressing concern is undoubtedly how to help. Reassuringly, there are indeed many concrete and feasible methods. In the following parts of this guide, I will offer you some practical tools to help you provide both emotional and practical support to people with depression. This support can help reduce their sense of isolation and reach them in the way they most need and can accept at this moment. Providing support to someone with depression may truly save a life. Whether it is giving them a chance to express their feelings, letting them feel they are not alone, offering practical help, or helping them seek or accept professional support, your effort can have immeasurable value. Although this should not fall entirely on your shoulders alone, your support can help reduce the risk of depression worsening, ease their pain, and bring a light of hope. Specific action suggestions. 1. Have the courage to talk about depression. Open and honest communication is essential to recognize and respond to depression. Talking about depression also helps sufferers feel less alone. Therefore, create as many opportunities for open and honest conversation as possible. If you are worried that someone close to you may have depression but the topic has not yet come up, take the initiative to ask. Ask whether they feel low, and whether this state goes beyond ordinary bad mood. Tell them your concerns and the changes you have observed. Learn about their thoughts and feelings with curiosity and care. You might open the conversation like this: "How have you been lately? I've noticed you seem a bit different from usual, and I wanted to check whether you've been feeling a little down." Based on their response, you can ask further: "Do you think you might be experiencing depression? Or, I'm worried that what you're going through is more than just a bad mood, it may be developing into depression." It is especially important to let them know that you will not judge their experience in any way, and that if they are not ready to talk about it now, you will be here waiting for the day they are ready. Understand that they may be unwilling, temporarily or forever, to accept the label depression, and that is completely fine. You can still talk about the specific symptoms they are experiencing, such as sadness, sleep problems, or anxiety, and how those symptoms affect them. If depression has already been diagnosed, do not avoid that fact. Take the initiative to communicate with them, care about their condition and feelings. When talking about depression, try to use expressions that separate the person from the depression. This non-judgmental way of speaking helps both of you recognize that depression is something you can face and overcome together. For example, you might ask, "Has depression affected your mood today, or what thoughts has it given you?" You can also say, It looks like depression is making it hard for you to focus on underscore 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 or underscore 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 dot. 2. Help them seek professional support. Sometimes a loved one's care and the passage of time may be enough to help ease depression. But in many cases, people with depression need more than time, self-help, or personal support. They may need more specialized external help. The need for such help depends on the severity of the depression, the person's daily functioning, and their own felt needs. Also consider their safety. If thoughts of self-harm or suicide appear, seeking help from a mental health professional becomes especially important. External help may include many aspects. It may be helping with childcare, cleaning, or grocery shopping. It may be arranging a temporary leave from school or work, or it may be consulting medical professionals about diagnosis or medication. In addition, psychotherapy may be needed, and in that case, professionally trained people should be sought, such as clinical psychologists or psychiatrists with rich experience treating depression. The more severe the depression, the greater its impact on daily life, or the higher the risk of self-harm, the more important professional intervention becomes. In extreme cases, such as when there is a high risk of suicide or self-harm, community medical care, outpatient treatment, or inpatient care may be needed. For people with depression, seeking practical help or treatment support is never too early, but understand that even when such help seems necessary, the person may not yet be ready to accept it. Some are willing and able to benefit from support early in their depression, while others may need longer to accept help. With the person's consent, you can discuss these possibilities openly with them, help them make an appointment or accompany them to see a doctor, or help research suitable sources of help. When talking about seeking help, be gentle and empathetic. You can say, "I can see you're really struggling right now. I wonder if underscore 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 might help, or may I suggest some approaches that might help?" If the other person is not ready to accept help, do not rush or get angry. Let them know you understand their feelings and are ready to help whenever they need it. However, if the person refuses help and you are worried they may harm themselves, contact crisis intervention or emergency services promptly to ensure they get the help they need. 3. Watch for negative thinking patterns. In daily conversation with someone who has depression, or when you care about their condition, you may notice they hold strong negative beliefs about themselves or life. As a helper, pay special attention to these negative thoughts brought by depression. Try to use externalizing expressions, such as, "It seems depression is feeding you negative thoughts again today," or "These thoughts brought by depression sound too harsh. It completely ignores the good things you've done recently. Did you notice?" This helps the sufferer recognize that these negative thoughts come from depression, not from who they are. Separating thoughts from the self is called diffusion in psychotherapy. You can also, with their consent, point out these negative voices of depression when you notice them, so that you can fight them together. This not only reduces the sufferer's isolation, but also helps them realize the problem is not themselves but the depression. Depression impairs a person's ability to recognize and question this negative voice, leading them to accept these criticisms and harsh thoughts without question. Challenging these thoughts together gives them more opportunities to become aware of and effectively cope with them. 4. Do not avoid the topic of suicide. Some people with depression have suicidal thoughts, which can be frightening for helpers. But if you are worried that someone close to you may have suicidal thoughts, please do not avoid the topic. Know that asking about suicidal thoughts does not provoke suicidal tendencies. On the contrary, avoiding the topic may bring greater risk. You can open the conversation like this: "I'm really worried about you. I can feel how much pain you're in right now. I wonder if the depression has ever given you thoughts of not wanting to live?" If the other person admits to having such thoughts, here is what you can do. Although you may feel overwhelmed, frightened, frustrated, or sad, stay as calm as you can. Respond with empathy. For example, "Thank you for telling me. That must be very painful. My heart aches for what you're going through. Seek to understand deeply. I want to understand your situation better so I can give you the right support. I want to help you regain a sense of safety. Can we talk a bit more about it? You can ask the following questions. Do you have an impulse to act on it? Have you thought of a specific way to harm yourself? Have you considered when you might act on it? At the same time, ask what factors might help them resist these thoughts, and whether there is anything that could stop them from acting. If you find it hard to have such a conversation alone, seek help from other friends or family. You can also seek professional advice from a psychotherapist, doctor, or crisis hotline. Remember, you do not have to carry all of this alone. If you have any concern about the situation, contact crisis intervention or emergency services immediately. If possible, suggest that the person seek help together with you, or encourage them to reach out on their own. Even if someone has expressed suicidal thoughts many times before, take every expression seriously, because it reflects the enormous pain inside them. 5. Accompany them through emotional low points. Depression is often accompanied by dark, heavy, and painful emotions. At such times, the most powerful support is simply being there. Resist the urge to minimize, deny, ignore, avoid, or try to solve these emotions. Simply listening and acknowledging their feelings, expressing understanding and compassion, is often more helpful. You can say, "I can feel the heaviness in your heart. This must be so hard to bear. I want you to know I'm here." If needed, take a deep breath and give yourself some space to process the emotions these conversations stir up. When people with depression can be listened to, when their emotional burden can be shared, even in the darkest moments they can feel they are not alone. Let them understand that having such feelings does not mean they are a bad person, and that even at their lowest, loved ones are still by their side. All of this helps them fight depression. Because depression often makes people feel isolated, unloved, and unwanted. 6. Offer practical help. Depression makes everything unusually difficult. Even daily trivialities can become overwhelming. Whether at the physical level, due to exhaustion and fatigue, the emotional level, stress, anxiety, irritability, etc., the cognitive level, problem-solving, decision-making, memory, etc., or the behavioral level, time management, all tasks become more challenging. At such times, offering some practical help can greatly lighten their burden. For example, help with shopping, childcare, tidying the room, or visiting them and cooking a meal for them, while giving them a chance to talk. Although it is important to encourage people with depression to maintain daily activities, when they feel especially overwhelmed, offering some practical help is an empathetic choice. Just as when a loved one has a broken bone or a bad cold, we naturally offer help during their recovery. Through ongoing attention and listening, you can better understand their condition and judge whether they need assistance. Remember, offering help is never wrong, and whether to accept it is their choice. What matters is letting them know you are always by their side. 7. Encourage action step by step, with you beside them. We know depression causes people to withdraw, avoid, and become inactive. This may stem from physical exhaustion and fatigue, as well as insufficient sleep and appetite, loss of motivation, and persistent negative thinking. When a person struggles to maintain normal life and self-care, the most effective way to help is this: stand by their side, acknowledge their feelings, then with their consent accompany them to act bit by bit, gently helping them rebuild their life functioning and emotional state. You can say, "Can I help you? Would you like me to do something with you? Can I suggest some tasks we could complete together?" For example, tidying the room together, cooking a meal together, going for a coffee together, or joining a one-hour social activity together. Start small, make sure the goals are realistic, and jointly discuss and plan specific action steps. This approach is based on the therapeutic principles of behavioral activation or activity scheduling. Research shows that staying moderately active and engaged, even in gentle forms, often effectively lifts mood, far more helpfully than staying inactive. It usually includes encouraging the following aspects: exercise and physical activity, social interaction, activities that bring a sense of accomplishment, activities the person currently or once enjoyed. To build the habit, you might, for example, arrange to walk together in a nearby woods twice a week, such movement, interaction, and time close to nature can bring the emotional lift they badly need. If a person's functioning is still fairly good, consider arranging some relatively complex activities, such as a short city trip or a social event. If they can barely get up, eat, or wash, start from the most basic self-care, such as getting fresh air, doing some light exercise, or taking a bath, and then gradually transition to higher-level activities, gradually restoring function. 8. Keep the connection unbroken. Depression makes it hard to maintain social contact. If you are a friend or family member, you may encounter canceled plans or the inability to make plans at all. Messages may go unanswered, calls may never be picked up. If you live with the person with depression, you may find they retreat to their bedroom early and often, reduce communication with you in various ways, or gradually distance themselves from other relationships. These are all manifestations of depression, but as a helper, you may inevitably feel hurt or rejected, or interpret this behavior as directed at you. Remember that for the person going through depression, that negative critical voice may be deafening, and their motivation and energy levels are extremely low. This has nothing to do with your relationship. As a helper, keep sending messages, calling, talking, and trying to make plans. Let them know you love them and care about them. Tell them they don't have to feel pressure to respond, but that you are always there when they are ready. Let them understand you will always be by their side. The key to keeping in touch is persistence. It is especially important that when the depression eases and they reach out again, you do not blame them for their earlier distance. You should be happy about this positive change and celebrate their courage to reconnect. 9. Keep kindness and empathy. In the process of helping someone with depression, you may feel tired, irritable, or frustrated. Maintaining empathy may become increasingly difficult. You may wish the other person would stop the negative talk, stop distancing from others, and start trying to get better. Your heart may unconsciously shift from criticizing the depression to criticizing the person themselves. Therefore, despite the challenges, it is vital to always maintain kindness and empathy. Remind yourself often, depression is a terrible illness that can completely take over a person's body and mind, and no sufferer can easily shake off its effects. Depression is a complex problem, and the person's struggle may stem from many causes. Try to avoid adding yet another critical voice into the person's mind, which is already full of self-criticism. At the same time, you also need to find a safe space for yourself, perhaps with friends, family, or a therapist, to acknowledge and process your own thoughts and feelings. Through timely rest, self-care, and seeking other support, you can better maintain kindness and empathy. See the Go Deeper section for more suggestions. Most importantly, no matter what setbacks or difficulties you encounter, do not give up. Depression often makes sufferers distance themselves from helpers, and also makes helpers feel rejected. This makes maintaining empathy even harder. The sufferer then feels even more alone, believing no one is willing to stay with them during the depression. Sometimes this also drains your strength and empathy. At such times, taking care of yourself is especially important. Remember, you do not have to bear the responsibility of healing the other person alone. But you can continue to offer support in the way I described earlier. So please do not give up. Believe that depression can be healed and the person you care about has hope. Although this may not be a quick or easy process, and it may take time to find the most suitable way to support them, recovery is ultimately possible. Your patience, understanding, empathy, and love are the most precious gifts you can give. Go deeper. The importance of self-care. Supporting someone with depression can place a huge emotional burden on you, sadness, worry, frustration, guilt, and sometimes even anger toward the sufferer. If you need to take on more parenting responsibilities, or stay up with them when they can't sleep, this also brings physical exhaustion. Considering the enormous energy you invest in caring for them, worrying about them, and searching for ways to help, this genuinely consumes a great deal of energy. Therefore, taking care of your own physical and mental health becomes especially important. There are many ways to do this. The key is to find ways that truly let you rest and recover, so that you can sustain your role as a supporter while keeping your own life vibrant. Here are two examples of supporting a person with depression while also attending to self-care. Amelia had been supporting her cousin for years, offering as much practical and emotional help as she could. But gradually she felt burned out, often in tears, constantly anxious and overwhelmed. She even began to resent her cousin, affecting their relationship. So she sought psychotherapy, and with professional help she learned to pay better attention to her own needs. She looked for other possible sources of support for her cousin and shared those suggestions with her. She began to accept help from others when she needed it. She signed up for a fitness class and made time for painting in her schedule. She continued to support her cousin, but established clearer boundaries while expanding her support network. Roger gave up many of his personal activities to care for his partner. One day, while talking with a friend, he broke down emotionally and voiced his exhaustion. His friend immediately booked him a massage and they made a plan together to help him return to his sports club. They discussed how to balance these activities while continuing to care for his partner, and explored how his partner could get more support from family, friends, and mental health services. When Roger began implementing this plan, he was pleasantly surprised to find it benefited them both. He became more energetic, and his partner was happy for him and began walking regularly with friends when he went out. This reminds me of the safety instruction on airplanes. In an emergency, you must put on your own oxygen mask before you can help others. Keeping yourself healthy and safe is what allows you to keep helping others. If you ignore self-care by giving endlessly, and eventually burn out or fall ill, it helps no one. As a helper, here are some specific ways to practice self-care. Exercise and activity. Choose activities you genuinely enjoy, look forward to, or can gain a sense of accomplishment from, so you want to keep participating. It could be walking, jogging, swimming, yoga, dancing, team sports, and so on. Beyond benefiting physical health, moderate exercise also improves mood, thinking, sleep quality, and energy levels. Find a form of exercise that suits you, and plan to gradually increase it daily or weekly. Rest and relaxation. Many people believe they must work hard to earn rest time. But this idea is actually backwards. Put rest first, and you will actually be more efficient, more productive, and perform at your best. A well-rested and recovered you can also offer better support. Rest can take many forms: going to bed early when you feel sleepy, taking a comfortable aromatic bath, doing relaxation, meditation, or grounding exercises, giving yourself a day/an evening/a weekend off, temporarily setting aside all tasks, or booking a massage, foot care, or other treatments. Be kind to yourself. Supporting someone with depression can feel heavy and oppressive. So make sure that when possible, you add some light and pleasant elements to your life. It could be reading a favorite book, watching a good movie, listening to beloved music, meeting a good friend, enjoying good food, or anything that brings you joy. Seek support. Sometimes you may need external help, such as sharing your feelings with other friends or family, or seeking parenting support. You can also consider consulting a psychotherapist or medical professional. As a psychologist, I often listen to and help those who support others. You can decide what kind of help suits you best based on your needs and situation at the time. Whatever form the help takes, remember you deserve support too. Supporters need to be supported as well. A small gift for you: try the warm hands exercise. The exercise below, inspired by the work of Russ Harris and Kristen Neff's soothing touch practice, offers a simple way to be kind to yourself when supporting others feels especially difficult. Place your hand gently over your heart. Feel the warmth of your palm gradually seep into your body. Imagine this warmth and care being passed to yourself. Say some gentle words to yourself, such as "You are doing well," "This is hard, but you will get through it," "This too shall pass," or "I am proud of you." Close your eyes, listen to these words, feel the warmth, and imagine this care surrounding your heart and flowing through your whole body. Take a deep breath for a moment, and let this love, warmth, and care fill your entire body.